Hello, everybody. This is Ashley Pfeiffer.
And Ariel Brooks Stevens.
And you're listening to At the Closing Table with Ariel and Ashley. We're coming to you on Reggae Rocks Kendall County, and we're going to be with you on the first Saturday of every month from 9 to 10. If you've missed a podcast or an episode and you want to go back and listen to them, they are always available on the Kindle, on the Reggae Rocks Kendall County app under the podcast section.
Yes, so go check them out.
Yes, please.
So, hey.
Hey.
How you been?
We've been good. How about you?
Yes, good. A little busy.
We have been busy.
We had some kids graduate
we
from high
did,
school.
We did, and we had all sorts of drama, which made it exciting.
It did. It made it terribly exciting. I think it's just fitting for the class of 2025.
I think you're absolutely right. I laughed because, you know, the night that, well, okay, so here's a little backstory,
yes.
Right? Our kids were supposed to graduate on Thursday.
Yeah.
At 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
We got there. Everything was going good.
It was crazy.
It was. It was crazy packed. It was kind of cool, right?
It was nice. It wasn't too hot.
Uh-huh.
But we should have known.
Mm-hmm. So we get through what the H's.
We got through H, I think.
I think right around there. And all of a sudden, in between announcing the kids' names, they said, I think it was Mr. Yoder, right, that was doing
thanks,
it.
Yes.
He says, okay, there's been a lightning strike within 5 miles. We've got to get these kids into the auditorium. Parents, if y'all will evacuate the stadium and go to your cars, we're going to update you in 20 minutes.
Yeah, no.
Right?
20 minutes. Yeah. Went.
20 times 20 times 20.
At 10 o'clock at night, we were told it's canceled. We will see you again tomorrow at 9 a.m.
So here's the best part. So they take all of our kids into the auditorium. But they were adamant that these children, when they were graduating, could not take onto the field their keys, their wallets, their phones, nothing.
Nothing.
So all these kids go to the auditorium. I guess they lock them in. I don't know how they kept them in there. With no phone. So we, as parents, had no idea what was going on. I had my son's keys.
I had everything. I had cell phones. I had everything. It was like 1985 in
exactly.
There.
We were just running around like, 1985. We did not know
what
to do.
I will say that one of the educators said that he had never seen the kids talk to each other so much. And I was like, of course they did. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes. And then in order, because we were afraid it was going to be packed again, we were back at that stadium at 7:45.
No, you didn't. I didn't get there till 8:15, but I got to park right up and sit.
I know. It was perfect.
It was so hot. Tell me how hot it was.
I have a sunburn on my forehead and my hair parts, and they don't let you bring umbrellas in.
Yes.
There was
no water.
Nothing.
I mean, it was fabulous. But, you know, I mean, so some of the parents that I talked to that have girls, you know, they were like, oh, they were so upset. They were in tears, blah, blah, blah. Well, I've got boys. Our boys were like, whatever. We'll see you tomorrow. No biggie.
No big deal. My hair's going to be fine.
I think it's funny because this is something they will remember forever, and then other people will talk. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, cool. It's fun. It made a little bit of an exciting week. And
exactly.
Yeah. And then now we're back at it.
Hard at work.
Yes, I think, Ashley, you've been pretty busy lately, haven't you?
But you know what? I'm going to say that it's picked up a lot. I mean, this is generally when we would be busier.
Right.
But, I mean, we're getting some contracts in. We're not setting the world on fire by any means.
Yeah.
What I call our fruit basket turnover, which is where, you know, Ariel, I want to buy your house because I want your pool or, whatever. Some of the things that we've talked about in some of our other episodes, we're still not having all of that.
Right.
Because, you know, people cannot leave their 3% interest rates and pay our prices, So we've got a lot that's sitting.
Yeah. A lot of inventory is sitting, and I think that's been the most interesting thing about this particular season in real estate is those homes that realistically, you know, forever would have sold very quickly are sitting. So sellers have to put on their patience pants, and buyers need to get off the bench.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it is the way it is.
I've had some phone calls from some agents that I've dealt with for 20 plus years. And the phone call always starts out with, hey, I've got this house on the market. I've got it priced way under what I think it should be, and I have not even had a phone call on it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing? Are you busy? And I always want to say, well, if you're not busy, I'm not busy.
Well, since we're down the road, then you call the lender. You're like, are you busy? Are people talking to you about buying a house?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, so
My fear is that all of a sudden it's just going to break open.
Right.
And it's going to get crazy. And yeah.
And cyclically, that's how it's always happened previously.
Yes.
You know, yes. Is that we are literally cannot find anything to do. And then something changes. Mm-hmm. And every time it's... That something is something different. Yeah. So when people say, well, you know, what happened last time? Okay, well, last time is not this time. Yeah. Therefore, you know, we can't predict. Yeah. We just got to hang.
That crystal ball.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. I do think, you know, with prices where they are and interest rates, one of those two things are going to have to give.
Correct. 100%.
So, because people literally cannot qualify right. for the next step up when they're in a three and want to go, you know, to a 6 or 7 interest rate. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, you just can't. That's true. You can't at all.
So we're full of good news as always.
Yes.
I feel like one of these days.
Delivering it with a smile.
I feel like one of these days we're going to be positive Pollys with everything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the things, well, this is not a positive Polly topic for some people, but today we were going to talk a little bit about liens. I know, I mean, most of us have been in the industry. It happens at least once every few years where during the course of a transaction, you get that, whoop, hey, did you know that someone has a lien on your property for unpaid such and such? Mm-hmm. Again, I think, especially when it's been there for so long, I mean, luckily, knock on wood, most of mine has happened when I represented the buyer and the seller's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that has to get cleaned up.
And I do think that when a market is where we are, right, in a downturn, mm-hmm. we always have more of this than we do just in the good times. Mm. And that just comes from the fact that, you know, you're in a down market. And when you're in a down market, generally that means everybody's down. You know, it's not just the housing market. You know, there is, you know, issues kind of all over. In fact, this morning on the news, they were talking about that these kids that haven't already found summer jobs are going to have trouble finding summer jobs because there are not as many out there. So when I say a downturn in the market, I'm really not just speaking about real estate. I'm just talking in general.
Right.
You know, yes. that people are more hesitant, you know, things are just not on the upswing like they have been.
Yeah. So liens, actually, how, like, what are the types of liens
sure.
that we see?
Okay. So let's start with the ones we see all day, every day, and then we'll kind of track down from there.
Okay.
So when we talk types of liens, anytime you have a deed of trust, mm-hmm. that deed of trust is going to give you the option for about 5 different types, right? There's going to be purchase money. Purchase money lien is where, hey, Ariel, I'm buying your house and I am borrowing $500,000 from ABC Mortgage, mm-hmm. right? That's a purchase money. I'm using that money to purchase a piece of property. Then there's VA, which is only for veterans.
Correct.
And there's, you know, it used to be that there was one type of VA loan and that's what everybody got. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had all of these things. The seller had to pay this amount of closing costs. The buyer as the VA couldn't pay a pest inspection. I mean, there was all yes. these rules and regs.
Yes.
And now that's no longer. Now,
and some of that's just been fairly recent that changed.
Right.
So obviously, again, we are not financial analysts.
Right. We're not lenders. We're just, attorneys. Nope.
So, for those of you out there looking at VA loans, I highly recommend talking to somebody who specializes in VA loans because those have become so much easier to work with.
Absolutely, they
so
have.
Nice.
And they have different loan products, like conventional. You know, so conventional, you've got, you know, all sorts of different ways that you
yes.
can go. And
yes.
VA used to be very, you know, it was one way, you know, that's it. And
yep.
now they have, you know, gotten some additional options, which makes it great.
They have adapted to the market.
Exactly. okay, so third one is going to be FHA, yeah. and that is going to be like for your first-time home buyers, those kinds of purchases.
And we're seeing more and more people using FHA because you don't have to be a first-time home buyer to mm-hmm. use these. It's just a product that if you qualify, you can put a very little money down as your down payment.
And I will tell you something that I've seen, again, downturn in the market, that I hadn't seen in years, is sometimes there are FHA loans where you purchase the house, let's say for $250,000, and your down payment is 10%, but they do a second lien for the full down payment that you do not have to pay back so long as you pay back the first lien. And again, I'm not a lender. So all I can tell you is this is what I see on my closing statement as we're getting ready. I don't know how you qualify for it. I don't know all the ins and outs. But again, if you don't know that those type of products are out there, how do you know to ask about them? So,
well, yeah, because I mean, I think a lot of people, again, we joke that the show is probably should be called
You Don't Know What You Don't Know.
You Don't Know What You Don't Know. But what we're also seeing with FHA is the construction loan side of things, which is especially for a town like Burney with so many older homes and, you know, people who want to just get into Burney. It's a great option.
Okay. So what that looks like is we're buying a $250,000 house and we are going to borrow at the time of purchase $100,000 to add another bedroom and to fix this or that, you know, all of those things. So FHA has those type of products. And when we call them products, they're loan types, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So then the next is going to be conventional, right? And that is just your plain Jane. You're going to put 20% down.
I think that's what everybody thinks about when they think about a home loan.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And then the last one we've kind of already touched on, it's OILTY. And that's where you have got, you know, people in the state of Texas, you cannot give away, sell your homestead rights. So if you've got a couple that are divorcing, then in order for one of the spouses to buy the other out, if they don't have the cash in hand, then they take what's called an OILTY lien, and that's where the spouse gets an actual lien that's recorded of record that shows, okay, the spouse is owed $100,000. So you can then refinance that lien without having to do a home equity.
Yeah.
So we don't see a whole lot of them, but, you know, I feel like a broken record. In downturn markets, when things are hard, we see more divorces.
Yes.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. So those are the main ones that we see.
Yes.
And that is, you can find all of those options in your deeds of trust, because when you go forward with the purchase, the deed of trust is what actually secures the lien, and the lender has to put on record what type of lien it is that they're giving.
Right.
So there will be a box checked that says, you know, it's a VA or FHA or, you know, whatever type of lien it is.
Yes. And usually that's the type of stuff that when a person's going to purchase a home, the buyer is communicating regularly with their lender, with their agent, just so that we know how to proceed with all of that. I know there are a few other types of liens that the surprises.
Right. Okay. So we just talked about, you know, like the, hey, these are the normal liens, right? So let's talk about the ones that, and I don't even want to say that they're not normal because we see them so much, but they're not the, hey, I intentionally put this lien on here so that I could buy a house.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
These are going to be like your child support liens, your abstracts of judgments, clouds on title, those type of things.
It's been unfun stuff.
Right. So if you see an abstract of judgment, let's talk about that one first. So an abstract of judgment is a claim of a lien. And basically that is, it can be many different things.
Okay, let's explain a claim of a lien. Like what somebody, how you get a lien on property.
So an abstract of judgment is basically a lien that has been filed of record. So let's say that you don't pay your credit card and you owe them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You can get an abstract of judgment that way.
Yes.
There are lots of ways to get abstracts of judgments.
And what that means too, with regards to real estate, is that somebody has put a lien, basically they've claimed some, that what you owe them, they've put that on your home.
Right. And so does it mean that for sure they're owed money? Not always.
Right.
What does it really mean? What it means is that as a title company who is in the process of figuring out how to insure a buyer, what we say is, look, we don't know if you owe this money or you don't owe this money. What we do know is that in order for us to close an insurer, you have to get a release of this lien.
Right.
Now, does that look like a release where we are just partially releasing this piece of property? It can be that. Mm-hmm. Because abstracts of judgments, again, I'm not an attorney, but a lot of times abstracts of judgment cannot attach to homestead property.
Mm.
So we can't say, Ariel, you've got an abstract of judgment by Chase Bank, and we have to collect this on your closing statement. We're going to take it out of your proceeds. We don't have the authority to say that because whether it's valid or not valid, that's between you and Chase. What we do have the right to say is, Ariel, if you want us to insure this transaction to your buyer, you have to get us a partial release of that lien.
Yeah.
So does that mean you get your attorney to tell them, hey, this is my homestead. I want you to sign this partial release. You are impeding the flow of my natural business. Or is it one of those deals, this is not your homestead and you really need to pay it, so you get a payoff from them and I collect it on the closing statement.
Yeah.
We're not ever going to tell you you have to do something.
Right.
As far as pay it. All we're going to tell you is that you have to have it released.
Which means you better get busy paying it. Well, and I think what I was seeing, and it was probably a downish turn or it was just a different type of market, was, say, for instance, John Smith, contractor, did some work. Joe Smith, homeowner, didn't pay the bill. Just said, thank you so much for my brand new deck. Uh-huh. I'm not paying. And so the contractor is going to go put a lien on the property.
That's a claim of a lien. So this is a materialman's lien.
Gotcha.
So let's talk about that one. So a materialman's lien is, again, a claim of a lien, because until they go to court, we don't know if it's a valid lien or not a valid lien. So Ariel's example, we see all the time.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So let me give you another example that we see every once in a while. All right, so I had a transaction where we run the title and there is a lien from a concrete contractor for, I think it was like $7,000. And so I call the owner of the property. I'm like, hey, this guy's got a lien of $7,000. You know, you're going to have to visit with him and even either get me a release or we're going to have to pay it. And he's like, what in the world? Long story short, he had had this gentleman come out to his house and give him a bid to put concrete stairs out his back door and a ramp. Okay. The bid was $6,000. He said, okay, I would love for you to come build my stairs and my ramp. He waits. Months go by. The guy says, I'm coming. Then finally, he just doesn't even respond.
Yeah.
The guy's like, I've got to have this ramp and these stairs. So he hires somebody else. Somebody else comes out, puts in the stairs, puts in the ramp. Everything's great. He gets ready to sell his property. And the gentleman who never came out and did a single thing put a lien on his property and said that they had a contract for him to do the work. And because he had that contract, he wanted to be paid for it, even though he had never done it.
Oh.
So long story short, we put our closing on hold. They went to court. You know, they made him release. Because again, it's not necessarily a valid lien. Are they most of the time? Yes, but it's not for us to decide.
Right. So let me ask you this. So say I'm just the average homeowner. I don't actually have a intent to sell my property.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go to find out if somebody has put a lien on your property?
Okay, this is a fabulous question, and I'm surprised I hadn't thought to mention this. So this started in some of the other counties where you can put your name, and I don't really know exactly who you give it to, but over at the courthouse, okay, I'm going to have to do some research on this, but here's how it's going to work. And I think that they're up and running with it, like within the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
You give your name, you go in and you say, hey, I'm Ashley Pfeiffer, and I want to be alerted if anybody files anything on my property.
Ooh.
And then they will send you an email that says, hey, this was recorded or that was recorded. And this is coming about because of all the fraud, you know, and all these commercials about, you know, somebody stole my title and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's happening.
Yeah, so some of our surrounding counties have been doing it for a little bit longer, but I'm pretty sure that our courthouse now has that ability.
Well, because also people sometimes make mistakes, and like we just talked about
had that last week or week before.
Yeah, like we talked about with the surveys a couple of episodes ago. But just as a fail-safe, as a homeowner, just to know what's going on in case something did arise, you can take care of it in a timely manner versus 20, 30 years down the road when you're like, oh, I was selling my property. Or worse, oh my gosh, we're selling mom and dad's property and there's this and we don't even know what it is.
Okay, so let me tell you the one that I had a couple of weeks ago, because this is a good one. And people, you know, the whole clouds on title. This really confuses people. And
should you explain what a cloud on title is?
Yes. Okay, so a cloud on title is where we run title and we see something that not necessarily is a lien, but creates enough of an issue that we cannot give clear title to the buyer.
Which stops the whole process.
Yes. Stop, drop, and roll is what happens. Okay, so now I've kind of explained what a cloud on title is. Now I'm going to give you an example because to me it's always better.
Yeah.
All right. So we run title on a piece of property, and let's say that it was lots 1 and 2. Okay. So Ariel owned lots 1 and 2. Ariel, 10 years ago, deeds me lot 1 and keeps lot 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 6 months later, she sells what is supposed to be lot 2. That's all she owns. She sells lot 2 to Joe. Okay? Well, when they did the deed for lot 2, whoever did it just did a fat finger and they put lots 1 and 2.
Mm.
Ariel did not own lot 1. She had already sold it to me 6 months before. Okay? So when we run title, we see Ashley bought it, but wait a minute. Ariel deeded it again when she still didn't own it to Joe. Does Joe think he really owns lot 1? Does he not? This is something that has to be cleared up. So this is not a lien. This is just a cloud. This is where there is confusion as to what has happened here.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening is I had to find all these people, and the Ariel in the situation had to convey just lot. We had to do correction deeds of everything saying, hey, it was just supposed to be lot 2. And then the guy in the middle had to say, yep, I knew I was only getting lot 2. And then there was actually a third. It on the same day it flipped.
Oh no.
So yeah, on the, so the third person then had to say, oh yeah, yeah, I knew I was only getting the lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a mess.
Sadly, that can, one, that can actually kill a sale of a property, because the buyer could go, oh, this is too scary, I'm not doing this, I'm backing out. But it could take a really long time to clear up, depending on all the other intricacies.
Some of these people were in different states. So it, and one was out of the country. I mean, it was a big, but I mean, it was like about a 3 week process, I think, is how long it took.
That's not terrible.
No, it could have been way worse.
Well, and this is where, too, a really good team around you makes all the difference. I think we've said it before.
Yeah.
You need a good realtor.
You know, the funny thing is that the title company that made all the mess refused to clean it up.
Oh.
And, you know, you can't make them.
No, but still.
But, I mean, I would have, I don't know. Anyway, they were in a whole nother, I mean, far off in another county. So.
Yeah. Wow. You started to talk a little bit about it. Maybe you did, and I just thought you did. Clouds on title, cleaning up mess. I know that we talked a little bit about seller fraud seller fraud impersonation. And I think what the, maybe it was your example of the lot made me think about it, because an agent in my office absolutely had this happen not too terribly long ago, where
these fraudsters are just getting so slick.
Yeah, super slick.
They are really going above and beyond.
Yes. If I can remember how it actually happened. So the agent, the person who said they were an agent, were representing the seller. And we had the buyer, and we were pretty far into all of it. So as it turns out, this particular, it was an empty lot that had been an empty lot for a really long time. And that particular owner didn't live in the state of Texas any longer, but had kept the lot. And I want to say we got all the way down to where you sent a letter to verify that that person was the seller of the lot. And that's when the red flags started flying.
I think there were red flags, a lot of red flags. We now have a system where, and it's crazy how it works. So we can send a verification link to a seller and say, hey, you answer these questions send a copy of your driver's license, and then this system goes through and tells us whether this is a real person or a fraudulent person.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
This
is a real driver's license or a fake driver's license with just the names right on it.
Yes.
And it's all, I think, based on, well, there's all sorts of things that it's based on. Like, it tracks your VPN, it tracks all sorts of stuff, but
yeah.
It also looks at that driver's license to make sure it's got, and that's this real ID stuff.
Uh-huh.
This has helped tremendously.
Oh, wow.
Because now all these systems can make sure the driver's license is a real driver's license and all of
yes.
that. Well, so it's been neat.
That's awesome. I didn't know about that. But yeah. I know we're seeing it a lot with vacant land. We're seeing it with vacant homes.
So I have not heard any and have not dealt with the vacant home thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I always tell people when they're like, hey, is somebody really going to steal my title? What I tell them is if you've got a vacant piece of property, you need to be kind of on red alert. You need to be watching it and making
yes.
sure nothing weird is going on. But if you, as far as your house is concerned, you think about the selling process, right? If you're going to sell a house, you've got people doing walkthroughs, you got mm-hmm. people doing inspections, you got all of those things. That's why we just are not seeing it on that, because that would be, again, I guess if it's a vacant piece of property, but even
well,
then.
The vacant houses, what we were, I want to say it was one of those sight unseen, mm-hmm. somebody from out of state, total fixer upper. It could have been classified as vacant land. The house
yeah.
may have been a teardown, but we almost closed.
Yeah. I mean, it is crazy how, like I said, I mean, they were getting driver's licenses with the correct names and birth dates and all of that kind of stuff.
They're creating different fraudulent emails. They're
oh, yeah.
just, it's, it, you're right. Like you said, it is remarkable the lengths that they're going to make money. And then what do you do when it goes through? How do you clean that up?
I don't know the answer. I hope I never know the answer.
We don't ever want to have to do a podcast on guess what happened.
Yes, no, we don't ever want to.
No.
I will say, so we have in the title industry, it's called Texas Land Title Association, and that's where I go and get my hours, and that's where they tell us the horror stories, you
yeah.
know, and all that.
Yeah.
And that is, I leave June 8th, I think. So next month, next month's podcast, I'll tell y'all all sorts of crazy stuff. About what's happening. But we do know, you know, I mean, for years it was wire fraud, right? I mean,
yes.
So it used to be that, you know, every time we funded a file, we wired, you know, your payoff, we, you know, wired your proceeds, all of that. Then all this wire fraud stuff happened.
Yes.
And now it's like we've gone old school, right? We don't wire payoffs anymore because, you know, we were getting wire instructions. Somebody had, you know, messed with the wire instructions and they were sending them out all over the place. So now we go cut actual checks and we overnight those. I mean, there's just crazy things.
Well, and I think most of us in the industry have a horror story.
Oh, yeah.
Or a very close story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we had a buyer almost wire. Was it?
It was $900,000.
Thank goodness he had that moment of pause and yep. called the agent to say, hey, I just got new wire transfer.
Okay, so here's what happened on that one. So we had a couple that, I think they were in California, right? No, they weren't. They were another state, but it wasn't California. So we had emailed them their documents, and then they were going to print them, sign them, and overnight them back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, when we sent the documents, we sent a hard sheet of wire instructions. So they signed everything, and they got an email the day of closing that mm-hmm. said, hey, from the realtor.
Yeah,
it looked like from the realtor, but instead yes. of it being her email address, it had her name and an extra dot, I think. I mean, it was so close. She just wouldn't
so
have.
Super sneaky.
So sneaky. So they got an email that looked like from their agent saying, hey, I just heard from the title company and they need you to use these wire instructions to get your almost $1 million to them.
Yeah.
So they get to the bank and the new wire instructions are to California. Right? Isn't that how it happened?
So, you know, you probably would know better. I just got the frantic phone call of, oh my gosh, this almost
yeah,
happened.
I'm pretty sure that at the bank said, now, wait a minute, aren't you buying in Texas?
Yes.
And that's what started it all.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah. 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 Thank goodness. And so, you know, they called and, you know, the agent was like, no, I don't ever send wire instructions.
Never.
And so then they called us, we verified, we got the money, you know, happy ending, but that's not always the case. I'm just knocking on wood. I don't think I even have any real wood here. I don't know.
Nobody but, knows.
You know, I mean, we're just all, I mean, it makes me literally feel sick to my stomach.
But you made a point too. I think with all of this technology, there are certain aspects, you know, everybody's freaking out, is AI going to take over everything? And I actually don't think it can, because technology is an incredible tool. But as people figure out how to create, you know, commit fraud on a regular basis, some of those old school techniques
have to come back.
They're just going
to
come back. Mm-hmm. I mean, speaking of going back to graduation, we had so many people send checks to the kids because they don't want to put money, cash in the mail. They don't trust the Venmo. It's really, really funny. But I closed on a property last week and my client actually asked for a check for the proceeds versus the wire.
So much. Yes. And here, this is something I find strange. So at every closing, I ask the buyer and the seller, do you want me to email you copies, mail you copies, or do you want both? So these older people, and I say older than me, they say every time, I want an email. I don't want all that paper anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, guess who the ones that want the paper? These young kids. Yes. Not only that, they whip out their checkbook.
Yep.
to give me a check to wire their money instead of filling out the wire form, you know, based on their app or whatever.
Yes.
I just am shocked every time. Well, every time.
Anyway, I think we adjust.
Yes.
Everybody, we always adjust. And I think when we stop adjusting or when we stop being open to change, whether it's moving forward or moving a little bit backwards.
A little bit backwards is right.
No, it's very interesting. But thank goodness we don't see a ton of seller fraud actually going through. I think the word has gotten out about that.
People We're all more cautious.
Yeah, way more cautious. Mm-hmm. Because all it takes is being privy to one story about how it actually didn't get caught.
It's sickening.
Well, yeah, because you think about how hard people work to save up that money.
Yep.
And then it's gone.
Yep.
Just totally gone.
Okay, so I know that we talked about materialman's liens. Are the liens that are workers, right? That came out and worked. But let's talk about mechanics liens because I feel like people get confused here. So mechanics liens, I feel like sometimes people feel like that is the lien that you get if you don't pay a contractor. Mm-hmm. That's not true. So mechanics liens are the liens that are placed on the property to secure the lending if you're building something. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So you have, let's just start with a construction. We're gonna build a house.
Yeah.
So if you go to purchase an existing house, you have a note and you have a deed of trust. A note says, oh, I promise to pay this money back. Deed of trust is recorded of record, says you have to pay this money back, right?
Yeah.
But if there is no house on the property, right? You have to have some extra steps in there because real property works different. We want to make sure that all this money that the lender has given you is not going for the vacay, right? We want to make sure it's for the construction of this home. So if you are going to build a house, the additional documents that you have a mechanics lien note, a mechanics lien contract, then your regular note and your regular deed of trust. And when I'm in closing and I have to explain this, I explain it as, look, here is your mechanics lien contract. This is what is recorded of record that puts everybody on notice that you're borrowing $500,000 for the construction of a residence. You're not going to Disney World. You're not going on the...
Is that in addition to the construction contract or
no,
is that
that is what is the reflection of whatever your contract is. Now sometimes there the mechanics lien contract is $500,000 and your note and deed of trust are $650,000. That would be because you owe $150,000 on your lot that you're also including in there. But you know, a lot of times we have people, they buy a lot, 5 years later they get ready to build the house, they already own the lot free and clear, so their mechanics lien note and deed of trust, everything matches because they're only borrowing $500,000 for the construction. And again, that is because what we know to be true means nothing unless it's recorded of record, right? So we have to show the progression of money. That yes, they borrowed $500,000, but they use that for the construction of this home. And then here's the deed of trust that secured that money.
Right. And then when people are buying, say, spec homes, that's a little bit different because you don't...
Well, do you mean when the contractor is building the spec home or the spec home is on the ground and now the buyer's buying it from the contractor? It's done.
No, when it's done, then that's just your regular
Yep, contract. That's just your regular.
Right. So I'm talking about, because for instance, so there's a lot of new homes being built.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just call them spec homes. They're,
okay.
You get to choose your paint colors and your doorknobs mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. So that's custom. But how does that process look versus just your straight custom, like from the ground up? Because that is a little different. It's more in line with, because here's the deal. We know from 2023, when all of these people were buying spec homes and halfway through the construction process, they're like, interest rates have now priced me out of this house.
Right.
I can't do it anymore. So builders are going to continue to build that house, even though you've put your name on it.
Right. And so for me, title-wise, it yeah. really doesn't look any different.
Yeah. Okay.
For me, I'm still seeing it as a purchase, no matter which part we're in.
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes you've got that in the good days. Okay. We don't have this right now, really, but in the good times, you've got builders who are doing spec homes, which means they're speculating that they're going to be able to sell it, right? So they start the construction process and they do it under their entity, yes, right? And they're building, yes. building, and then somebody comes along and they're like, whew, I love that. I want to buy that house. And the contractor says, great, you know, this is how much I'm going to sell it for, and I am going to let you pick out, you know, your door handles or whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
But as far as what I see a contract that's new home construction, somebody owns it and somebody's buying it. Yes. And so my transaction is the same.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So really just the mechanics lien comes into right. place when you own the lot or mm-hmm. not.
When you're building a custom home,
correct.
That's when that comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's where people get a little bit confused sometimes mm-hmm. too.
Yep. And because those are two different creatures. One, the totally builder different. Owns it. The builder's doing all of it and you're just buying it. And the other one, you own it all. The builder's building it for you, however you have chosen for it to be built, all of that right. kind of stuff.
Right.
The control is either with the builder or it's with the homeowner, depending on who owns it all.
And sometimes nobody has any control.
This is true.
At some this point is in true. The process. We just given everybody a whole lot to chew on, huh?
I feel like there was something else that I was going to talk about when we talked about. Oh, okay. So remember when we were talking about somebody conveying, they sold me lot one and then they sold you
right.
lot one and two,
oh,
but
yeah,
I,
yeah.
okay. So that is something that we see periodically, but here's something that we see, I would say more often,
yeah.
that is also a cloud, not a lien. So this is where I own lot one still,
yeah.
and you own lot two,
mm-hmm.
and you decide you're going to do a home equity because you're going to build this bedroom and a pool, whatever.
Yeah.
So when you do that and the lender puts lot one and two on their deed of trust. So I still own lot one. You still own lot two. But now all of a sudden it looks like I have a lien with Chase that's under Ariel's name, right?
Yes.
We know that that can't happen. You cannot put a valid lien on a piece of property if you don't have the homeowner sign off on it.
Yeah.
But that is still a cloud that has to be dealt with, right? You have to go back to the lender and say, whoa,
yeah.
you know, y'all fat fingered this and you put lot one and two and Ariel only lots two. In fact, Ashley owns lot one, so you need to figure this out.
Yeah.
Again, it's not the end of the world. It's just something that takes time that has to be cleaned up because
yes.
inevitably they're like, well, how do we know this? We need proof. Okay, well, wait a minute. Here's my deed and here's Ariel's and Ariel doesn't own lot one. I mean, it's a simple, I don't want to say simple fix because generally it takes a little bit of time, but you know, you've got the proof
it's
that they don't.
Forward
it's
fix.
A straightforward fix.
Yeah.
yeah. If you can get to the right people and that kind of thing.
Yes. But I think Macy, basically, as you said that, I think the theme of this podcast is just pay attention.
There you go.
Just,
I like that.
You know, even as a homeowner who's not interested in selling their house.
Yeah.
Just make sure. Because, I mean, humans make
yeah.
mistakes. And humans are the ones having to file all these things and do all
right.
that stuff. And you just
and
don't know.
And I don't
know.
Think people, you know, start a transaction with the idea of, ooh, I'm going to put some clouds on some title today.
Nope, they do not.
You know, I mean, no. it's just... Yeah, it's just by accident or somebody not paying attention or the whole fat fingering thing.
Or not paying your child. Pay your child support,
yeah.
people.
There's that.
Pay your child support.
Yep.
That'll get you.
Yep.
Every time.
Okay, so is there anything else that
you
I
know,
want
no,
to talk
I
about?
You know, no, I think we're almost out of time.
Okay.
But I was just going to, you know, just real brief, quick market update.
Okay.
A lot of people ask, I'm a realtor, so everybody asks me what the market's doing. But, you know, for those people who are potentially interested in selling or buying or just wondering what in the world is going on, We keep using the word balanced market. We're just not in a frenzy. But like Ashley mentioned, one of the strangest things that we're seeing is that interest rates aren't going down and prices are not coming down. Sellers, I think, have dug their heels in because they actually need every penny in order to go buy a house at the current interest rates. And so it's become a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. Buyers keep waiting for interest rates to go back down to 3%. And frankly, the only way that's going to happen is if we have another catastrophic economic event like the pandemic, and yeah, nobody wants that. I think buyers are missing out on the houses that they really need, really want to. Right. Just thinking interest rates are going to come back down. Good news is that we have so much growth in Kendall County, so you're going to have more options, whether it's you have to rent for a little while before you buy.
How is the rental market? I don't see that, so I don't know.
Right. It's okay. It's pretty steady. We did see for a long time some rentals sitting on the market longer than they normally would have. Uh-huh. We've got a lot of apartments being built. Apartment yeah. complex is being built. We have the new, Embry off of 46. Mm-hmm. Pardon me if I got that wrong. They build to rent, so that's coming available.
We've got those that are right there off right. John's Road.
Right.
Down the little feeder.
And everybody has their opinions of apartments and all the rentals coming in. I think at some point it really needs to stop just so that we can maybe level out.
Yeah.
My word. The rental market's okay, but I think that for investors who got in, maybe their interest rate on their mortgage is a little higher, they're not able to cover the rent
yeah.
fully with what they can, with what a renter can pay.
Yeah.
We're seeing that, you know, people aren't gobbling up those houses, those little fixers to rent right. them like they were before. But, the thing is too, is that if you're a buyer and you're in the market, the process is a lot less frenzied and you can negotiate. People are more negotiable. And you get the house that you want
right.
and you can ask for the repairs that are needed. And, I think we're seeing a lot of people with those contingent offers because they've got to sell their house and
right.
to buy the house. Mm-hmm. And that has stalled the process considerably, even no matter what state you're coming from. I mean, we have people still coming from other states here.
It's about contingencies, because I'm not sure that general public knows.
Most common contingency we see is I live in Michigan and I have to sell my house in order to purchase your house or a house.
So you put a contract on a house here in Bernie.
Right. It's called a right of first refusal. Mm-hmm. And you put a contract on that house that basically says that we know you have to sell your house before you can buy this house. Challenge with that is that sometimes we know it's 60 to 90 days mm-hmm. to sell a house. And a lot of people don't want to accept a contingency contract until the people's houses are like when the people selling already have their house under contract.
Right.
But then that becomes quite a delicate dance of timing. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be homeless, but we're just seeing sellers not as amenable to
right.
contingency offers until the selling property is under contract.
And I think that also goes back to the fact that there's so much just sitting, not moving.
Right.
And they think, wait, if I take this contingency, I might miss out on another offer. Instead of thinking about the fact nobody's getting offers.
Right.
So maybe I should,
sure.
It's
yes.
six of one, half a dozen of the other, hindsight.
Well,
you know?
And once a buyer sees that a house is under contract with a contingency, sometimes they don't want to go see it.
Right.
It's just human nature. However, again, agents can explain that through
right.
and why sometimes it is a good idea to go check it out, because if it's the house for you,
right,
you give someone 3 to 5 days to say, are you going to buy this? If your house hasn't sold, I'm going to sell it to somebody because I need to sell it now.
Right.
So,
and then it makes those buyers that have the contingency figure it out. Hey,
yes.
You know, I mean, so sometimes people want what they think they can't have. So if you already have a contract,
it's true.
You know, I mean,
yeah,
who knows?
It's true.
Real estate is a fickle, fickle little creature.
Yes. And I just tell people it's everything has a season. Everything has a cycle. The real mm-hmm. estate cycle is there's an economic cycle. I mean, if you study right. your history, you know, we've been here before. We will be here again.
Yep.
But I think that, something's going to change in the market and we'll be ready. Or not. Who knows? We weren't ready for COVID.
No, we weren't.
So...
Nope,
we don't even pretend to have been ready for COVID.
You know, when COVID, when all that was happening, I called a big staff meeting. I was like, all right, everybody make a list of all the things that we're going to do when we have nothing to do, right?
We didn't get there.
It went berserk. Berserk is a good word.
And not the greatest way.
Oh, no, it was just nightmarish.
It was just hold on.
It was. Hold on, I'm trying to get through it. Okay, so awesome. Have we talked about if somebody wants us to talk about a topic or where they can reach us?
Yeah, for sure. We have a Facebook page at The Closing Table. So you can find us there. You can also send us an email at Closing Table. So atclosingtable@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. If you have questions about anything we've covered today, a topic that you would like us to cover.
Because we feel like we don't know what we don't know. So we don't know what y'all want to hear about.
Yeah. And we may actually have an episode where we do a Q&A where people can call in. I know I've gotten a lot of lending questions lately, mm-hmm. so maybe we should invite a lender.
Yeah. Or somebody. We can certainly do that.
Yeah.
You know, we're just feeling this out.
We like this. Yeah. This is fun. So thank you guys so much for joining us at the Closing Table. We are on Kendall County Rocks.
Reggae Rocks, Kendall County.
See, I can't even say it right. I'm sorry. Reggae Rocks, Kendall County. We are here the first Saturday of every month from 9 to 10.
If you've missed an episode, all the podcasts are in the Reggae Rocks app under podcasts. I mean, if I can find it, you can find it, I promise.
Yes.
So thank you guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. It's good to see you, Ashley.
You too.
All right.